Once we get through the bye week before the NBA Finals, because there is a long layoff until Thursday before the Cavs and Warriors will tip off game one, we will eventually get what we always wanted through, well, since the beginning of the NBA season. What we expected to get has come. And it is Cavs-Warriors 3 starting on June 1st. It feels like the more people I talk to, the more I hear, yeah, Warriors are going to roll. And there's just not a whole lot that the Cavs can do about it. Where are you guys landing on it? Donovan?
Warriors in 4.
Are you serious?
Sweep?
I wouldn't be surprised.
We waited all this time for a sweep.
Yeah. I'm still compelled. There are comparable offensive teams, and Golden State is by far the better defensive team. Like, it's not close. And when you add in the fact that they've been so dominant and they've been so disinterested, I think when you give them a foe who is comparable, but also they're motivated given what happened at this stage last year, given the year-long trolling the Cavs have had, whether it was the Halloween party with the cookies and making fun of the Warriors, or Ty Lue, whether he meant it or not, saying that he's more concerned about Boston's offense than the Warriors. I don't see a path to Cleveland beating Golden State.
Yeah, I don't go sweep, but I was saying yesterday, I feel like it's Warriors in 6. And I haven't, to your point, Reach, I haven't heard anybody be confident about a Cavs win. And that's just, I think when, whether you're a casual fan or you're a hardcore NBA watcher, you take last year's Golden State team and you replace Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant and you give them a full year of seasoning, it's not hard to sort of go to that place where you're like, yeah, like they're a smarter defensive team. They're a better switching team. They're a better rebounding team. They do so many things well, and they haven't even really been leaning on a guy like Andre Iguodala yet, who, as much as there's no such thing as a LeBron stopper, is one of the guys that at least gets into the conversation of being able to keep up with him and having the length and the strength and the quickness to at least give him problems. So right. you've got a team ideally, like as much as anybody is, ideally set up to give Cleveland problems, and you add Kevin Durant to it, and it's just sort of, we saw that it worked. I remember questions at the beginning of the season where it was like, oh, well, is the chemistry going to make sense? And are they going to be able to share the ball properly and stuff like that? And yeah, they did that. They proved to everybody that they can win 67 games without even really trying that hard. And now they get to, go up against Cleveland after a full year of essential preseason games.
Well, the Warriors aren't going to miss the threes that the Raptors missed in their series. And not that the Raptors would have given Cleveland a bigger shout or anything like that, or made it a more competitive series, but the Raptors missed a lot of open threes, as did the Boston Celtics. And even the Celtics, they needed LeBron to shut off for one game just to have a chance, and they ended up taking that chance. But in the overall, like, the Warriors just aren't going to miss the open shots that the Cavs D has been giving to their opposition so far in this postseason. And that's the tipping point for me.
Yeah, I think we forget that, last year in Game 7, for the Cavs to win, the Warriors scored 89 points, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That's not, I mean, this playoffs, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant combined have averaged like close to 60 or 70 every night like that. So for me to think that when the Cavs defense is much worse and the Warriors offense is much better and really much more diversified, that they're going to be able to keep them at a number that's comparable to what they were able to last year without Bogut and for one game without Draymond Green due to suspension, just don't think that's realistic. The other issue I find for Cleveland is, it took so much for Golden State, one, to get there. They went for 73 wins during the regular season. They came back down 3-1 against Oklahoma City and won in 7 games. And then they kind of got up 3-1 and almost ran out of steam to finish the deal. This year has been quite the opposite. Their best players play around 30 minutes a night. They've all been rested. They were rested strategically throughout the regular season. When they've had guys with anything close to an injury, whether it was Iguodala or Livingston or Kevin Durant, in the playoffs, they've been super cautious and rested those guys. Andre Iguodala, they've pretty much put him on layaway and said, we don't need you until the finals. Conserve all of your energy because you're going to be guarding LeBron James. They're the only ones who have really the audacity and the luxury to do so.
And they still won every game they played in.
By 16.3 points, which as of now is a record. So yeah, they're a juggernaut with which we've never seen before.
I am happy that this is the way it's worked out, though. Like, we've had a bad playoffs up until this point. But if any team is even going to give the Warriors 1-2 games, maybe, you know, like in pie in the sky, this gets to a game 7 and anything can happen. But the Warriors are an absolute juggernaut, and there was only one team that was going to give them really any kind of pause, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the fact that we get a rubber match in this, you know, almost makes up for the fact that the playoffs to this point have been really lackluster.
Yeah. The ratings are actually up, surprisingly.
Even it's very surprising.
The games haven't been bad. I think it's because people were just so curious to almost ensure that we got this trilogy. The great part is, Craig, they are, you know, as you mentioned, a great foe. But also, we get LeBron playing his best basketball in the playoffs ever. He's shooting the three ball like he never has. He's actually shooting the three ball almost better than he's shooting free throws, which is super weird. But and then you get him against this great team with you know, playing their basketball at the most important time. So I love the dynamics of who wins out, the supreme talented player or the supremely talented team.
And that's interesting. So basically, we got LeBron, and his legacy is on up for debate every single time he touches the ball.
Yep.
This is his 8th finals. He's won 3 to this point, and he's likely to lose a 5th, so it'll be 3-5. That just seems so crazy to me. I was looking back at the odds heading into series in LeBron's life. He's been favored to win twice. He won't be favored this time. So 2 out of 8 times he'll have been the favorite going in. And that's going to somehow work against him. For the LeBron hater out there on Twitter, going to be like, see, LeBron lost again. He's a chump.
Yeah. When
the fact of the matter is that this Golden State team is bonkers. That they are as good. They are as good defensively, offensively. They're full of Hall of Famers at, you know, the midpoints of their careers. It almost seems unfair to LeBron. I know that's a ridiculous argument to make. LeBron has every other advantage on the basketball court, you know, strength, speed, agility, all that sort of stuff. The fact that he's going to wind up probably losing a 5th finals it seems strange to me, and it feels, out of sort.
Yeah. Well, there's only so many teams that can be built to beat LeBron James, and the Golden State Warriors are the one and only that have been built to beat him, and they will try beginning on Thursday.